Today on Stories Unbound, building your kidlit career, agents. Welcome to Stories Unbound, your guide to the growing world of kidlit and children's book publishing. I'm Shauna JC Tenney. I'm an author and an illustrator. My story went from personal project to published book, and I want to help you do the same in an ever-changing industry. Friends, and welcome to Stories Unbound. I'm so excited today because we have a great episode for you. And I know it's one that a lot of you have been waiting for. It's a topic episode, and the topic is about agents. Now, I'm sure you probably know that an agent is someone who acts on behalf of an author in dealing with a publisher, but there may be a lot of things that you really don't know about agents. And in this episode, we're really going to dive deep into what an agent can do for you as an author or an illustrator. In the children's book industry, there are two types of agents. There are artist representatives, or art reps, and there are literary agents. And we will talk about the difference between the two. I asked three of my awesome friends to talk to you about agents. We'll start with Julie Olson, who's an author illustrator. She'll talk about the difference between art reps and literary agents, the difference between large agencies and small agencies. Then we'll hear from Russ Cox, who's also an author illustrator. He'll tell us about different resources that can help you find an agent, things to look for when searching for an agent, and the importance of being patient in the children's book industry. And then we'll hear from our good friend Giuseppe Castellano, senior art director at Penguin Random House. He talks about what makes a good agent and what makes a bad agent, finding out about agents and following submission guidelines, and deciding if an agent is right for you. After we hear from our friends, I will come back, tie some loose ends, and answer some listener questions about agents. A couple things before we jump into our episode. First of all, a new and exciting podcast has launched at the Oatly Academy. It's called The DIY Animation Show. You guys have got to check this out if you haven't yet. The show is hosted by Lauren Morse and Jessica Dahl, two amazing artists and adorable people. Jessica and Lauren interview people who go out on their own and do personal and collaborative animation projects. It's a really fun and energetic show with plenty of heart. Even if you aren't into animation, they talk about really just some universal truths that are great for any artist to hear. So go check out the show at oatlyacademy.com/go/SUDIYA. That's SU as in Stories Unbound, and then DIYA as in DIY animation. And then if you like the show, be sure and leave them a rating and review on iTunes. And one more thing before we hear from our guests. In 2017, the Stories Unbound team and the Oatly Academy will be launching a workshop geared specifically towards picture book creators. In this workshop, I'll guide you start to finish through the most important part of the process for creating your own picture book. If you want to be the first to learn about details as they develop and be the first to enroll before we open it to the public, go to oatlyacademy.com/go/unbound workshop and join the early notification list today. All right, let's hear from Julie, Russ, and Giuseppe.
Hi, my name is Julie Olson, and my website is julieolsonbooks.com. So I have worked with a couple of different types of agents. I started out for 10 years repping myself in the children's illustration industry, and I did everything from educational books to magazine illustrations and even picture books. However, it came to a point where I didn't like having to do all my own promotion, and publishers started closing the big publishing houses to submissions. I decided also that I wanted to start illustrating more picture books and thought that an agent would get me into those venues rather than the majority of my work coming from educational illustration. So in about 2008 or so, I signed on with Tammy Shannon and Associates, and I thought they were great. They were an art rep, not a literary agent, and I worked with them for quite a few years, and I'll tell you my experience with them. None of it was negative, and I think part of that can depend on personality types. Tammy Shannon and Associates reps many artists, and if you're someone who needs a little bit more personal attention or guidance, then going with a rep that hosts or reps many artists may not be the way to go for you. Because of the sheer numbers of people they rep, there's no way humanly possible that they could guide you through every step of the process or have the time to critique every piece of art that you send them. So they really do look for people who are interested in doing their part of the job and relying on Shannon and Associates to do the rest. And I think many agents prefer that, but there are definitely some who love to be involved in the process as well. Mainly, an art rep would rep you toward to a more varied group of clientele than a literary agent may. So my art rep got me jobs with children's book work and even educational children's book work and picture book work. However, they also got me work with, I can't even remember the name of the company. Anyway, it's a pharmaceutical company, and I did a children's informational pamphlet illustrations for them. And because it was a pharmaceutical market, the budget for the project was super high. So that was a big change from the children's industry. So if you're interested in doing those kind of jobs now and then, an art rep would be more the way to go to broaden your scope of who you'd be working for. It came to a point in my career where I wanted to focus more on writing children's books and creating my own product from scratch, from the start, rather than always waiting for the jobs to come in and always illustrating other people's words. My favorite jobs were always books. So I decided to switch from an art rep to a literary agent. And I would only go with a literary agent if I were an artist who was interested in writing my own stories. To me, the difference is you have to ask yourself the question, do you want to be a content creator or a content producer? So if you are being repped by an art rep, you become much more of a content producer, where you are producing art and content based on other people's ideas. So being a content creator to me was a little bit more appealing because I had ideas of my own that I really wanted to get out there and share. Now, honestly, I do not get as much illustration work, period, with a literary agent as I did with an art rep. However, the work I am doing is work that I am more interested in. So if you need a steadier paycheck and are starting out in the art industry, then I definitely would rely on an art rep more than a literary agent. See, with a literary agent, you're most likely only going to be doing work for children's books or whoever that agent has connections with. And they don't usually have connections with pharmaceutical companies. There are situations where you can be repped in the children's book world by a literary agent. And if you do things like editorial illustration that isn't for the children's market, then you may be able to find an art rep that is willing to rep you in that other style just to those markets. So I started working with a literary agent, as I said, because I wanted to write my own stories and illustrate my own stories. I still have gotten jobs where I am illustrating other people's work because my literary agent still submits my art, and even a little bit in a more personal way, submits my art to editors and art directors at children's publishing houses, saying that I am an illustrator and would love to be hired to illustrate children's books. I say that they do it in a little bit more personal way because they're not repping a huge slew of artists. When an art rep submits artists, or if an art director or editor is looking for an artist through an art rep, they're just scrolling through tons and tons of artists or asking for samples from the agent from more than one artist at a time. Whereas when the literary agent submits your work, it is often in an email with like three image attachments saying, hey, look at the new stuff this illustrator is creating. Whether or not that's a good or bad thing, it's hard to tell, but to me, it seems to be a good thing. So how do you find an agent? There are several ways, and I think in today's market, the best way is networking. I found both my agents through this method. Initially, with my art rep, I had friends that were being repped by this same art rep, and got to the point where I thought, well, and said to them, well, I think I might start to look. And they said, well, I really think you should submit to my art rep. I think it'd be great, and you can use my name. So having somebody else's legitimate recommendation is a big way to get a foot in, to find an agent. When you're figuring out who you want to submit to, you need to make sure you've talked to people that they rep in an email, like just going and stalking on the internet and finding out who they rep and emailing that person and saying, hey, just wondering what your experience is with this agent. What kind of agent are they? How do they work? How do they communicate? Because every person communicates differently, and you need to make sure you find somebody who communicates the way you need. So I felt like I needed somebody who would let me know who they were submitting my work to and actually give me the responses from those submissions instead of a verbal word of mouth, telephone type pass along. I really prefer to read the email response from the editor or art director that my agent is submitting to. And with the agent I'm with now, which is John Cusack at Folio Lit, I really appreciate how he will email me saying, I am submitting to so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so, and give me a list of who he's submitting to that week. And then he will keep me updated. As soon as they email him a response, he will forward that on to me with his either comments about the email or no comments at all, and let me just soak it in. So finding my first agent, they did exactly what I wanted them to do at that time. I needed somebody to help me get my work out there a little bit more and in front of other eyes than I was able to get to myself. I also at that time didn't feel like I needed or wanted help writing stories because I wasn't focusing on that so much. So networking and finding an agent through friends, but also getting recommendations and how they behave and how they communicate is important. I hope that what I've said can help you out, and I really have enjoyed sharing my experience with you and would love to hear from you if you have any questions. Again, my website is julieolsonbooks.com, and you can contact me from there.
Hi, this is Russ Cox. I'm an author-illustrator. I wrote and illustrated my first picture book called Faraway Friends that came out last year via Sky Pony. Just like Shauna, we're both Sky Pony members. I've also illustrated for books for Capstone, Penguin Random House, Macmillan, and a few others. I have worked exclusively with literary agents. I've been approached by art reps before, but it's not the route I really wanted to take, especially now as I'm focusing more on picture books. Earlier in my career, I would probably have taken an art rep, but I was just so green that I really wasn't ready for that commitment and that journey. How I find agents is I spend a lot of time going through the SBWI booklet. Sometimes they give those out at conferences, and I think there's also a digital version that you can download if you're a member of SCBWI. And if you're not a member, you should definitely join. Also, there's a great website called QueryTracker.net, I believe. I use that when I was looking for my current agent. It's a great resource. You can go on and ask questions. A lot of the agencies, they publish or they post comments, what they're looking for, how to submit, even if they're open for submission. Again, you can leave comments, you can ask questions, and a lot of times the agents will reply and they will tell you, you know, if they're still open or closed for submissions, or if they're only just taking submissions through conferences, which a lot of them are anymore. And also, you know, you can just ask around. You can talk to fellow author illustrators, especially if they're signed with somebody who they really like and it seems to be going well. You can get feedback from them. If you're just shopping online or surfing online, you know, you can contact people on the client list and ask them questions. You'll be surprised how many people will take the time to answer those questions. When you go to conferences, too, you can ask around. And you'll be surprised a lot of people are willing to give you feedback and thoughts if an agent is worth the time. When I was looking for an agent, especially my current agent, who I just absolutely adore, I look for somebody who, first of all, has a great reputation in the market and who's very well known. And I think them having an extensive contact list is really important. And also, I think they have to have somewhat of an online presence, just to, you know, whether it's Twitter. Twitter's probably the best one. I'm not really concerned too much about Facebook because I think that's more of a personal social media forum. But Twitter, a lot of the agents and publishers and editors, they seem to communicate via Twitter quite a bit. So I think having a social media presence, especially on Twitter, is very important. They should have definitely some knowledge about the writing process and the illustration process. They should know how pieces are created. Even just some basic writing knowledge. My current agent, she's great. She's a great, great editor. She's very forthcoming and you know, if there's problems with something. But for me, I like an agent who doesn't tell you what to do, but they may kind of guide you so you can kind of figure things out and learn along the way. I do have some friends who've had agents tell them, you got change it to this, do this, do this. And I think sometimes you lose yourself, you lose your voice of the story that you're trying to create, and it might become more of a team, which is not bad. It's not a bad idea, but I like for an agent to kind of guide me, you know, into a direction without telling me, so I can figure things out. And doing that, you know, your story may go to a whole new place that you weren't even expecting. So I think that's very important. And also, you know, it's a matter of chemistry too. You know, I kind of think finding an agent is almost like you're dating somebody. You kind of see how it goes, you know, for a few months, and it can go really well. And then, you know, you think, okay, we're off and running. Or, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work out. And a lot of us have had that experience where you sign with somebody and things were good and it wasn't a good mix. So things kind of, I don't want to say go sour. It's just like, you know, it's just time to make a change and move on and go your separate ways. Yeah, I think they just have to be knowledgeable overall in the industry. I think that's really, really important. And, you know, they should be listed in you know, some of the trade publications. And also, if, you know, subscribe to Publishers Weekly, their online newsletter, and you can see which agents are getting book deals. It's nice to see someone you're with, even though you may not be getting a book deal or a project just yet, but you're seeing that they're out there, they're making deals. You know they're respected and things are moving forward. And since I came from a commercial background, I had to relearn patience. And I think that's the key. In the commercial world, everything happens really fast. Decisions are made quickly and you move on. Your deadlines and your time frames are real short. So you don't have a lot of time to think. You know, you get feedback usually within days and not the same day. But the publishing world is definitely much slower pace. And I'm really kind of relearning how to be more patient, because it could take months and, you know, and years before you even get a nibble or a small illustration gig, or you may, you know, or the book gig that you've been dreaming of and working hard towards. So I think patience is really the big thing to learn and to develop. And also, you know, if, you know, you send a story out, don't just sit back and wait, go on to the next one. You hear this all the time. You should always be creating. Because, you know, that one that's sent out, chances are it's not going to find a home. But I think it's a good way to get in front of people. And then when you develop another story or a dummy and you send that to, or your agent sends that to somebody, and then they'll start looking at you like, oh, this person, they keep creating. They're getting better and they're getting better. So eventually your story and your dummy and your illustration work is going to find a home and you're going to be off and running. Also, a good agent will know who to send your story to. You know, your dummy may not fit with 98% of the editors and the art directors out there. So a good agent will, since they have all the contacts, they'll know who to send it to, who will be a good fit for a particular story that you may work on. And they may send it to a publisher, and then your next one, it may be a whole different list. So that's about my thoughts. And, you know, a good agent's going to help you move along that road, helping you develop your stories and your illustration craft. A good agent has the contacts and they have the knowledge, and I really hope this helps.
Hi, My name is Giuseppe Castellano. I'm Executive Art Director at Penguin Young Readers Group. I lead the art department for 6 imprints at Penguin, overseeing the art design of roughly 230 children's books a year. Approximately 75% of them are illustrated, and of our family of illustrators, I'd say roughly half of them are repped by an agent. In addition to being an art director, I teach illustration. I share hashtag art tips for illustrators on Twitter and through my blog. My Twitter handle is at Pino, P-I-N-O, Castellano, and my art tips blog can be found on my website at gcastellano.com. I continue to be a guest speaker and critic at art schools from RISD to Ringling. And I also founded the Illustration Department, which is an online school for illustrators. You're welcome to visit our website at illustrationdept.com. So agents, I'd say as an author illustrator, most of the benefits of having an agent are fairly obvious. They operate on our behalf, ever focus on our best interests. Agents are fonts of knowledge, they're teachers, they open doors to industries and opportunities, they lead the cheer for us, they help us skip that much maligned slush pile. Yes, you pay them a fee, and you know that fee could be fairly substantial depending on the agent, depending on the project, but agents help our creative growth in more ways than the obvious. For art directors, editors, publishers, you know, those of us on the other side of the desk, an agent is foremost a problem solver. Need an author or illustrator? An agent delivers. Need the manuscript or the art to come in on time? An agent delivers. In my experience, a good agent is one that helps move a project forward. Good agents step in when they're needed. They step out when they're not needed. Agents also curate. Before we see illustration samples or book pitches, we, publishers, art directors, editors, we know that the agent has worked hard to make sure that their client's best foot is forward. We don't see it unless the agent wants us to see it, you know? There are agents whose taste I trust almost without question. I know each of their illustrators or authors truly exhibit a high level of personality and prowess, which are two things that I look for in illustrators more than anything. Then there are the bad agents. We know the ones who don't communicate, the ones who don't get back to us in a timely fashion, the ones who allow ego to influence their decisions. They tend to be cynical. They're condescending. They place their own interests ahead of their artists. They tend to be quick to anger. Any perceived act of disrespect is met with insults via email, the tough guy emails or threats. That is true. Thankfully, there are fewer of these kinds of agents out there, but they are definitely out there. What can you watch out for? How can you, differentiate the good ones from the bad ones? I feel like it's all about trusting your own judgment. When you talk to an agent, how do they speak to you? How do they speak about the industry? I would be wary of an agent who promises greatness, promises more than they can deliver out of the gate anyway. But in my experience, I feel like greatness, success, however you define that, is grown through hard work over time. I feel like you, illustrators, art directors, anyone, plumbers, you have to earn a career. It's not going to be handed to you, and there's definitely no agent out there who's going to deliver a career to you. So I would say look out for those agents who, feel more blustery than are you're comfortable with. When looking for an agent, I'd say it's important to do your homework. What does that mean? Everyone always says, do your homework, and no one ever explains what the heck the homework is. In this case, doing your homework means being a detective. Get the facts, You have to learn who's working in the field. Start with illustrators that you admire. Look at their websites, who reps them, find out who they are. Read industry magazines, read blogs, listen to podcasts, follow agents on social media. A lot of them have a very strong social media presence. Learn about who these people are. many of them have interviews online. You know, many of them explain on their websites in very simple text who they are and what they like. And once you find out who these people are, once you feel like you have a good sense of, you know, of the players in the game, then put a list together, you know, your 10, 15, 20 choices, you know, people who you feel could best represent you. If you have a list of 20 agents, you know, I wouldn't send out 20 submissions. First of all, read their guidelines. Every agent has a submission guideline. Some agents, you know, you will find will have closed off their submission window. You know, they just have all the clients they can handle or all the clients that they want. But anyway, a lot of them have submission guidelines. A lot of them are open to submission. So find out what that is and, you know, submit properly. But again, I wouldn't send 20 submissions to 20 people right out of the bat. I'd send 5 submissions. And this tip, by the way, comes from an agent who told me this once. You know, send 5 submissions to five, not your top 5, but to your maybe bottom 5. And by the way, agents aren't just sitting by the proverbial phone, you know, hoping to hear from you. They're the busiest bees in the hive, man. They really are. You know, they're reading, they're pitching, they're meeting, they're signing, they're publicizing, they're tweeting, they're Skyping, they're traveling, they're haggling, they're defending. And that could just be on a Monday. So, you know, your submission to them isn't, by the way, an Instagram post. You know, they're not going to comment right away, if at all. I think it's incumbent on all of us to practice professional patience and persistence. The 4 P's. Practice professional patience and persistence. Send submissions out to your bottom 5. If you don't hear from them after a month or so, gently check in. If you still don't hear from them, then you can move on to your next 5. The key here, though, is, you know, patience. As much as we would all love to send submissions out to agents and then get a wonderful response right away and sign and party, it just doesn't work that way. These kinds of things definitely take time. Why do you even want an agent? Explaining out loud why you want an agent is one of the more difficult things to do, I think, as an illustrator. I've heard a variety of answers from, well, I want an agent so I don't have to get work. I want an agent to deal with my, you know, deal with contracts. I want an agent to do all the things that they don't want to do, all the things that distract them being the illustrator, from being creative. I gotta say, though, I think those answers are the wrong answers. Agents don't just get work for you. I think that might be the absolute worst reason to get an agent, is to, quote unquote, have them get you work. They're not your servants. They're not your parents. I've heard illustrators say that they want agents to, you know, so they don't have to deal with contracts and rights. They say that they're not good at that stuff. Sorry, folks, I'm here to tell you, you still need to be good at that stuff. You still need to review the contracts. You still need to intelligently discuss the terms of the deal with your agent. Ultimately, signing a contract is your call. I mean, you have to sign it, and you have to know what you're signing. A good agent will explain to you what you're signing, but at the end of the day, you still do have to understand the basics of what these contracts are saying. Or, you know, what are you agreeing to? So anyway, ultimately, it's your call, and that call should absolutely be informed. So to get an agent to, quote, you know, deal with that stuff, that's just not a good reason. Hey, man, if you submit to your agents and an agent comes back and says that they're interested in you, congratulations. That's a very nice feeling. But under no circumstances should you simply say, great, where do I sign? You have to read their agreement. Take time with that agreement. If you can, find a contract professional, an attorney, someone to read it as well as you. Ask questions. You know, if an agent comes to you and says, we would love to represent you, you are well within your right to go back to them and say, that sounds awesome, but by the way, I have all these questions. It's their job to answer those questions. Ask questions. Look at the length of the agreement. You know, can you terminate a contract if things go south? I've discussed this with more than one illustrator which is one too many, where they entered into an agreement with an agent and turned out that breaking that agreement was much harder than they had even thought of. And I don't even know if they even knew that that was an option early on. And, you know, it led to trouble. So, you know, these are the kinds of things you have to think about. Can you terminate a contract if things go south? How much do you have to do for your own marketing versus what your agency or agent does? You know, look at what they'll do for you versus what you have to do for yourself. Contrary to popular belief, you hear the saying, you know, everything is negotiable. That's not true. Not everything is negotiable, but most things are. And I think it's your job to sign the best possible agreement for both parties, not just for you, not just for them, but for both of you. And if they're worth a darn, this agent, they'll know, they'll understand that asking questions is the right thing to do. They would probably even respect it and make them even feel better about their decision to sign on to you, because they know that you are a person who thinks through these kinds of things and doesn't just enter them, you know, kind of willy-nilly. I get it. It feels great to say, I have an agent. It's legitimizing. It makes you feel like you've made it. You kind of have some swagger walking around, maybe going to your friend, saying to your friends, like, I have an agent, and your friends will congratulate you. You know, your parents, who probably aren't that necessarily sure exactly what it is that you do as an illustrator, but they definitely know what an agent is. And, you know, telling them that you have an agent will probably make them feel a little bit better about your career. But the absolute wrong thing to do is just blindly sign an agreement with an agent. You know, the second worst thing to do is to kick back at your drawing table and wait for the jobs to roll in after you sign with an agent. You still need to work hard. You still need to improve your craft. You still need to increase your self-awareness. Signing with an agent isn't the goal. It's just one step on an endless staircase. I hear the comparison that the agent-client relationship is like a marriage. Heck, I probably said it once or twice myself. But when I really think about it, it doesn't feel quite right. I mean, you're not their only client. You don't have their undivided attention. Not really. I like the coach-player analogy so much better. They're the coach, and you're the player. And you're one of many players on his or her team. And like any good player, your job is to learn the plays, do the work. You need to stay, you know, creatively fit. You need to follow their direction. Of course, share your thoughts, share your insights. It is a bit of a partnership in that respect, but it's definitely not a marriage. And you are part of a family. You have teammates, and your job, not only is your job to be the best possible version of yourself as an illustrator, but also to sort of cheer on your other teammates, you know, the other illustrators, the other authors. Look, can you do it without an agent? Can you be successful and not have an agent? Of course you can. Is it harder without an agent? Maybe. Maybe not. It all depends on who you are and what you want. Agents help. They help in ways I can't even fully articulate, but they're not the only key to the door. An agent once said to me that if you think having an agent doesn't give you a distinct advantage, you're crazy. And I agree. For the most part, I guess it depends on the agent, doesn't it? Bad agents will probably stunt your career. But I do agree with her, caveats notwithstanding, that, you know, agents give you a leg up. I would say the greatest advantage agents provide is knowledge. By far. You know, think about it. They meet with editors and art directors of most, if not all, of the publishing houses all the time. I mean, that's one of their prime objectives. That's one of their prime responsibilities, is to meet with editors and agents. And not just at one house, but at many, if not all, of the houses. They're always learning what the editors and art directors want and don't want. They're always giving inside looks into publishing plans, both present and future. They're always gaining further insight into who loosens or tightens the purse strings, frankly. So knowledge, I mean, if I could, you know, mind meld with an agent, that would be kind of cool. At the end of it all, I think the decision to reach out to agents is a very personal one. I think that might be more obvious. but I suspect you will hear conflicting ideas on agents. Hear everything, hear it all, hear pros and cons, think about it all, and then ultimately make a decision that you feel works best for you.
Thank you, Julie, Russ, and Giuseppe for your fabulous insights on agents. I'm going to summarize some of the things that our guests talked about, and I'm going to add some of my own insights about agents. Let's first talk about what an agent does. An agent has many roles. They are very busy people. First, an agent should know the industry really well. An agent in the children's book industry should know all the genres of kidlit inside and out. Board books, picture books, chapter books, middle grade novels, and YA. They should know the current trends in the industry. They should also be experts on writing or illustrating and know how to help you edit your work and get it ready to send out to publishers. An agent should be great at networking. They should be going to conferences and staying active on social media. They should know publishers well. They should know which editors and art directors are at a given house at any time and know what kind of stories and art each is looking for. Knowing all this information can help the agent be a great matchmaker for the client and the publisher. While they're looking for work for their current clients, an agent will also be looking for new clients, so you can see why they are really busy. They'll be searching for clients at conferences or reading a bunch of submissions from authors and illustrators who are seeking representation. An agent should also be really good at the business side of things. They should be good at negotiating contracts. They can often help a client get more money and more time on a project. They can also be a great mediator between the client and the publisher if something isn't quite right and they need someone to be a go-between to help smooth things out. All right, so those are some of the roles of an agent. So now let's talk about different kinds of agents. Our guest Julie talked about art reps versus literary agents, and she did a really good job of explaining the difference between the two. Just to reiterate, an art rep sends out illustration work to art directors to get their clients freelance illustration work. A literary agent sends out their clients manuscripts or book dummies to editors. Our awesome loyal listener Mark McKay asked, "Do you need to have a separate agent if you want to get freelance work and you also want to write your own stories?" Great question, Mark. I don't think there's one answer to this question because it's very different in each individual circumstance. Some literary agents are great at promoting artwork also, besides promoting their clients' manuscripts. On the other hand, some literary agents only want to stick to sending out your manuscripts or dummy books and don't want to take time to send out your artwork. So in that case, yes, you could get an art rep, or you can just send out your artwork on your own if you're trying to look for freelance work. On the art rep side of things, yeah, there's going to be a lot of art reps that are going to be willing to send out your dummy book to editors. But like I said, it's going to be a case-to-case basis. So some art reps are not going to be willing to send out dummy books. So really it's doable either way. Thank you so much, Mark, for your questions. Let's talk about how agents get paid. The agent gets a percentage of any income that comes to the author or illustrator. This includes any royalties you may earn in the future for your books. So the publisher will pay the agent the full amount, and then the agent will take out their percentage and send you the rest of the money. Literary agents usually get 15%, and art reps usually get 25%. If they ask for more than that, I say run away. Just like Giuseppe mentioned, when an agent offers you representation, it's important to ask them lots of questions and take time to find out about them and think about it. I currently don't have an agent, but I have had two agents in the past, so I have thought a lot about questions to ask a new prospective agent. And here are some of the questions I thought of. How did you become an agent? Tell me about your agency. What books have you sold? To which publishers have you sold books? It's good to know that they have a good track record. How will we communicate? I think it's great for me personally to know where my agent is sending my work and what the responses are to my work. It will help me know how my work is being accepted in the industry and maybe what things I need to improve on. Here's another question that's important to me. If a job doesn't come through you, do you still want me to sign with you so you can take a percentage? Each agent is different on this, but there are some agents who wants you to sign every single job with them, even if it didn't come through them. You'll probably want to know that ahead of time and be okay with that if that is the case. On the other hand, some agents only want you to sign with them on work that they found for you. So ask a prospective agent what their rules are for that. All right, I made a list of things to look for in an agent, like good things to look for, and then things to avoid. Now, some things might pop up later when you're already being represented by someone, and the key there is to have good communication. But here's my list. A good agent will be organized and professional. They will know the business well. They'll be up to date on publishers. They'll use social media effectively. They'll be good at negotiating contracts. Here's a big, big one. Your agent should love the work that you do. They should be totally dedicated to helping you move your career forward in the best way possible for you. Here's my personal list of things to avoid when looking for an agent. Avoid someone who takes too high a percentage or demands you to pay a bunch of money up front. Avoid someone who promises to deliver more than he or she actually can. Avoid an agent who is representing too many clients on his or her own. If that's the case, they're not going to be able to have time for you. Avoid an agent who won't let you see contracts or won't let you communicate openly with a publisher. Avoid someone who doesn't keep up to date on social media or keep their website up to date. Avoid an agent who doesn't want to show your current or best work. And avoid an agent who has a differing vision for you and where your career should go. Now, like I said, those are totally just my opinions, and those are just things that I feel to be important for me when I'm looking for an agent. But hopefully you've heard something that can maybe help you when you're looking for an agent. Now, what should you do if you're with an agent and it just isn't working out? First of all, don't be afraid of leaving your agent and finding another one. It's perfectly normal. It's done all the time. But when you decide to find another agent, the most important thing is to be professional. You need to call your current agent on the phone, be gracious and polite, and you need to end the professional relationship on a positive note. You're still probably going to be communicating with them about royalties and such. So it's really important to just leave everything positive and part ways well. Like Giuseppe said, you need to decide for yourself if getting an agent's right for you. Yes, an agent might be able to help you to find the kind of work that you want to get, but it's also possible to find that kind of work on your own now with the miracle of social media. If you are writing and illustrating your own books, getting published without an agent is definitely harder than it was a few years ago. A lot of publishers don't accept unsolicited manuscripts now. That means people sending manuscripts without an agent. If you do decide you want to get an agent, remember that it will probably take a lot of time to search for an agent. Remember, all agents are not created equal, and don't just automatically go with the first agent that comes along. Put a lot of thought and research into it. When you do find an agent, make sure they love your work. An agent should work for you and not the other way around. And one last thing, don't give up hope. Make good work and be great to work with. And whether you work with an agent or not, if you're working hard for your goals, you'll eventually get where you want to go. All right, that's all I have for now on agents. Today, Julie and Russ brought us insights about agents from the author-illustrator point of view, and Giuseppe brought us insights about agents from the art director's and publisher's point of view. And coming up in February, we will hear about agents from an agent's point of view. So stay tuned for that. Now I have a question for you, dear listener. What is something you learned about agents that you didn't know before? Go to oatleyacademy.com/go/SU15 and tell me about it in the comments. You guys know I always love hearing from you. As always, we love it when you share this podcast with your friends, and we enjoy reading your reviews on iTunes, so thank you for everyone who's done that. Join me next time on Stories Unbound for an interview with former Pixar writer and author of indie children's books, Mike Sundy. Until then, keep drawing and keep dreaming. Stories Unbound is a production of the Oatley Academy of Visual Storytelling. I'm your host, Shauna J.C. Tenney. Our producer is Chris Oatley. Our assistant producers are Anya Marcos and Ezua Ebeneba. Our editor is Kevin Scarborough. Our mix engineer is Zee John Yan. Our theme music was provided by Ryan Keith and Wes Steepen. Subscribe at storiesunboundshow.com. Find more art and story podcasts featuring insights from some of the most inspiring voices in animation, games, VFX, comics, and children's books at friendsofstoriesunbound.com.